songs to sing, a lot of songs that lift our hearts in worship. Amen? Amen. There's also a lot of horrible, terrible Christmas songs. And so talk to me, congregation. Tell me, before we get to the negative, tell me some of your favorite Christmas songs. Anybody shout it out? We got Silent Night, we got Oh Holy Night. I thought I heard somebody yell, the two you guys just did. I don't know, that could have been in here. What are some of your favorite Christmas songs?
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. I love it. What else?
Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
Excellent.
Hallelujah Chorus.
The Hallelujah Chorus. And what I hear over here?
How Many Kings.
Another great one. I'm sorry, I did. The Savior's Born. Outstanding. See, there's a lot of Christmas songs that we absolutely love. Now let's talk about some that we absolutely hate. Santa Baby. Is that not the worst or one of the worst? Santa Baby. Like somebody woke up one morning and said, you know what this world really needs? A very salacious Christmas song. I don't know where that came from. May they rest in peace wherever they are. Another one I really hate is Last Christmas. You know the song? Last Christmas I gave you my heart and the very next day you gave it away. It sounds like something that would happen on the black market, right? There's organs being bought and sold. That's horrible. What Christmas songs do you hate? Don't be shy. Please, you know, if it was some of the ones we sang tonight, though, don't shout those out. But if there's other ones. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I heard that one. And Hey Santa? Yeah, that just sounds horrible. That just, yeah. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is notorious for its horribleness. What else? The single worst Christmas song in the history of humanity. Are you ready? Dominic the Donkey. I hate that song. I hate it, all right? Not only is it racist against Italians, which I take issue with, but it takes one of the most beautiful names and gives it to a donkey. Okay, all go home on YouTube and go ahead and look that up, but we will never hear that in these hallowed halls. What if we could hear a song from heaven? What if we could hear a Christmas song from heaven? What if we could tune our ears, tune our eyes, and tune our brains to study a Christmas carol from heaven? What would it include? What would it sound like? What would it move us to? That's exactly what we're going to do tonight. We are going to look at a Christmas carol that was sung by the angels of God. Sung by the angels of God to announce the very first Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that this Christmas carol, this song, this joyful praise is a great model not only for us to sing by, but to live by. And so if you'll turn your attention to Luke chapter 2, we will begin in verse 8. Every great Christmas carol has its own context. I think of songs like Silent Night, which was one of the only Christmas carols ever to be written on a guitar. Beautiful song. I love Silent Night. Every song has its context. And so first of all, let's look at this Christmas carol in context, starting in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, here's the Christmas carol. You ready? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Can you imagine what it would be like to be those shepherds and not only see an angelic messenger and not only then to see the angelic host, but to hear them resound in praise to God? It must have been amazing. Now bear in mind that when the great prophet Isaiah saw his vision of the Lord, he saw angelic beings flying around the throne of God with wings covering their faces and their feet. And they would only say one word over and over again. Holy, holy, holy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't mind repetition in lyrics. But one word over and over again might get a little old. Or even the great hymn that's based on this text. Glory, Rhea, right? That's one letter, four bars. Here we get a little more, not just kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. We get this, the first Noel. Now, before we get there, who were these people? These people were just shepherds. They were regular people. They were not anything special in the world's eyes. And they were just doing their job. They were tending to their flocks. And then all of a sudden, we see this. An angel of the Lord appears. Now, what would you do if an angel of the Lord appeared to you? You'd be afraid. Don't pay attention to these guys on TV that say they talk to angels or talk to Jesus while they're shaving in the morning. They're lying. Because if you see angelic beings, you hit the floor in absolute terror. And I have a hard enough time shaving with a regular razor, let alone in the presence of the Christ. These shepherds did what anyone would do in light of this. They hit the ground. Why? Because there's something just remarkable about the beings that just fly around the presence of this God. And so what happened? An angel of the Lord appeared to them and they responded in a very reasonable manner. They were afraid. Now we know that the very first thing that they will hear from this angelic being is, you don't have to be afraid. But let's be honest, there are some good reasons to be afraid. Like when you see a rattlesnake under your bed while you're in it. When you see a bat, even on TV, it's scary. Notice verse 10, beloved. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because I bring you good news. Not the news you might expect when you see an angelic being. Not the news of wrath or anger. I bring you good news. Hope has come. Christ is born. Notice what it says here. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And as we talked about this morning, he didn't just leave that. He gave specific physical earthly signs. And he said this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger.
He said, you don't have to be afraid because Christ is born. He's the Savior. He's the Davidic anointed one, the Mashiach, the Christ. And if you want to see him, you can touch him. He's real. And then in verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Now, if you'll give me just a little bit of liberty, I think what may have happened here is that when the angel announced that Jesus was born, the choir erupted. He said, you don't have to be afraid, for Jesus is born. He's wrapped in cloths. He's lying in a manger. Find him. And then, boom. I don't know that. It's my guess. That's how I fill in the blanks there. But notice what they say. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. What does glory mean here? When he says glory to the highest, well, the word glory means different things in the Bible. Sometimes it means a shining light. It can't mean that here. It would be strange for them to say, turn the lights on, to sing about shining a light. Sometimes in the Bible, the glory of God means his wonderful attributes, his intrinsic glory, but it can't mean that here. Because they're ascribing something to God. They are shouting something to God, not about what he is, but what he deserves. And so this must mean something like this: praise be to God. Praise is declaring the infinite greatness of God. That's what the seraphim were doing in Isaiah 6 when they were saying, holy, 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 and they couldn't even look at him. That is what the angelic hosts were singing at the top of their lungs or whatever they have. Glory. Glory. They're saying, God is great and must be praised. They were worshiping him. They were not only declaring the infinite greatness of God, they were enjoying the infinite greatness of God. You know what that's like, right? When you're reading your Bible or you're praying and you don't hear angelic choirs, but you feel like you almost do. When it's as if we can say this reverently, it's as if Jesus is next to you. And all of the struggles of life, they go away. Fellowship with this Christ is so great that it outweighs the burdens of our lives. Thomas Manton said this: we beg of God many times, but we think of ourselves. Our hearts run upon our own name and upon our own esteem. How often do we come to him with a selfish aim? As if we would draw God into our own designs and purposes. There are none so unfit to glorify God and so unwelcome to him as those that are so wedded and vehemently addicted to their own honor and esteem in the world. Wow. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, if you are the most important to you, you'll miss God. When we hunt after respect from men and make that the chief scope of our actions, God's glory will certainly lie in the dust. What he's saying is, the angels did not see themselves as competitors with God for glory. They were not up there going, glory to God in the highest, but remember me. I am an angel after all. Their entire focus was on God. So what does it mean then when they say glory to God in the highest? What it probably means is in the highest place. Because this is a song, and they're using something very similar to Hebrew parallelism. And so what they're saying is, glory to God in the highest place, and on earth, peace with men. As one dead preacher said, they say not glory to God in heaven where angels are, but using a rare expression, in the highest heavens where angels aspire not. Now, again, this is poetic language. This is lyrics to a song. So the obvious meaning behind that is that God would be glorified beyond anything else. Kind of like this. If you walk up to somebody and say, I love you to the moon and back, you're not saying you're going to hop on a rocket ship. You're saying that it's so big, it extends. So what's the point of all this? Our hearts, brothers and sisters, should long that God would be glorified to the highest extent and in the highest places. If I can say it this way, how on earth could we be satisfied with Santa Baby last Christmas or the great abomination which is Dominic the Donkey when we have Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, and with angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. And our culture produces, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Or all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Well, if St. Nicholas was here, you'd lose your two front teeth. I think we learned that last week. A Christmas carol for God's glory then becomes a Christmas carol for each other. Keeping our focus during troubling times, notice what we find here in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men, with whom he is pleased. Now there's two different ways to translate this. If you have the King James or the New King James, it says something like this: peace on earth, goodwill to men. And if that's the translation that you like, that you're really seeing, then glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill individually. It's going from highest to most specific. If you have the New American Standard or the NIV or ESV, it says something like this: and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And that would make it basically mean that only some are meant to experience this peace. The ones who are pleasing to God. by faith. So how do we get this wide divergence in translation? I won't bore you with details, but I love this kind of stuff. I kind of dabble in textual criticism, which is the nerdiest thing I think I've said in quite some time. Difference is one letter. One letter makes all that difference. In fact, it's the letter similar to what we would have with the letter S. And it makes all that difference. And so you look at the textual critical information, which I will not bore you with, but I just want to read what the differences are in terms of the letters, okay? So in 2:14, we find this. In one version or one textual family, it says this, an anthropois oudakias. And in the other one, it says an anthropois eudakia. One letter difference. Here's the point. It doesn't really matter that much. Decide for yourself what you think is better in this context. But here's what we can all agree on. Whatever translation you favor here, we can all agree that ultimately peace only comes to those who receive the Lord. And that ultimately any good will that is offered without any deference to Christ is short-lived and shallow. I mean, really, are people that much nicer this time of year? Not if you work behind the counter at a retail place. Right? Do people come in bubbling over with Christmas joy? No, they probably yell at you. See, I'm lucky. You guys are just as delightful in December as you are in April. Interpret that how you will. We should long that the love of God and the gospel would transform this world according to his plan and according to his character. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Let's take time to worship the Lord in truth and above simple tradition. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not a Scrooge or a stick in the mud. I love all the Christmassy stuff, even the stuff that is way just cultural and has nothing to do with the truth. I like that kind of thing. I like these songs, and I like claymation and cartoons. I like all that stuff. But let's take time to worship the Lord in truth and above simple tradition, because it's better. I mean, this will require some thought. I want you to sing, but think about what you're singing. How many times do we just sing the songs and we don't even really think about what we're singing? A good trick one morning or one evening would be to change the words and see if anybody notices. This will require some patience. If you're anything like me, devotion comes slowly. Sometimes I wrestle with God in his word. And the verse I like to go to is Genesis 32:26, where he says, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. This will require humility. Before we adequately praise him, we must come to admit that we don't already. Let's take some time for peace. I think we'd all agree that our world is not at peace. You want to find an argument? Go on social media. It won't take you long. We have really little control over that, if any. But we have a little control here. Let's appreciate peace. Let's anticipate peace. Philippians 3:20 says this, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior." Eagerly wait for a Savior, Jesus Christ. And let's act toward peace. Pursue peace with all men. Hebrews 12:14 says, "And the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Romans 12:18, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." So the skies opened up. The angelic hosts sang. And the two themes of their song was, "God is inexplicably awesome. And Jesus brings an inexplicable peace." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these songs. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we get to breathe your air. We get to live in the world that you created, designed. The world that you are sovereign over. Lord, help us not to be negative in our perspective and always focused on the bad things, like shallow songs or annoying traditions. Help us to be just flabbergasted by your glory. Help us to see it, to love it, to long for it. Thank you for another year of evening services. I pray that you would continue to bless the people through these times together, that you would bring more and more to share this fellowship to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.